I want to begin by telling you about a minister colleague of mine. He was lamenting sometime last year about some of his parishioners who had left his church. Now, he's got an evangelical church. These parishioners had left his church to go to quite a charismatic style church. And he asked these parishioners, he saw them in the street, and he asked them, why the move? Why did you move to this charismatic church? Thinking, you know, the music and things like that. It wasn't. These people said that this new church, they tell me each and every week how I should be living, such as, and this is the exact example they give, such as how to raise my kids. That's what he said. They tell me how to raise my kids. Now, what he was getting at was that this new church, they preach topically each and every week. And the topics are, you know, the specific things about how to live each and every day. Now, the big problem with preaching topically every week is that it exposes the average parishioner to the minister's agenda. It exposes the average parishioner to what the minister thinks his people need to hear. Preaching exegetically, expositionally, if you like we do here, working our way through the book, means that the agenda you get is actually greater than the minister's agenda. You're getting God's agenda. You're working through a book of the Bible that God has given to us. And that's why we do that here. I don't want you limited to what goes on in my head. I want you exposed to more than that. I want you exposed to what God wants us to hear. But having said all that, there is that doesn't mean that there's no place for topical preaching. You see, one of the limits in expositional preaching is that topics like how to raise your kids don't come up that often because the Bible doesn't talk about it that often. So what we're doing this term, you know, short topical series on looking at some of those themes that don't come up much but that are still vitally important to the Christian life. And today we're looking at raising kids, how to love your kids, particularly in the context of raising little kids. Now, there could be some here today who are all sort of, you know, been there, done that, Brendan. I'm hoping you don't tune out at this stage. I think some of our 8 o'clockers did, even after I asked them not to. Might just be me rather than the content. But anyway, what I'm hoping, while raising kids is the responsibility of parents, not grandparents, I hope you grandparents know that, it's the responsibility of parents, what we're talking about today will still hopefully give grandparents tips in how they can love their children or love kids, you know, around them, whether it be neighbours' kids or kids here at church as well. I'm hoping we'll be able to pick up a thing or two in how to love grandkids. But look, this topic, it's huge. It's limitless. There's no way in the world that I could cover everything that needs to be covered in one 20-minute sermon. Even if I could, it'd be too much for the average human to take in. So we're going to have question time. If there are things I don't cover in terms of the topics, we can talk about it in question time. But what I'm going to do, and you can see it in your sermon outline, I've picked three points. What I think are the Bible's top 3 points. We're going to be looking at setting boundaries, we're going to be looking at spending time, and we're going to be looking at Christian training. They're the three things I want to look at. But what I want to do now is pray, ask for God's help, and then we'll dive in. So let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the wonderful gift of children. They are truly a blessing from you. Yet as children, they are totally dependent on imperfect parents such as us. Lord, all of us parents, we bring to the table our own upbringings and our own life experiences that will no doubt shape our parenting styles. But we pray now, Lord, that you will open our ears to what your word has to say on this most vital of topics. And grant us the strength, if necessary, to change our parenting styles to be more in line with what you want. Amen. Well, I want to begin with two passages that weren't read for us, but they're highly relevant for our topic. And these two verses, they're found in the list of requirements for elders, for ministers in the Bible. Very famous passages, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. Now, elders are simply, you need to understand this, I want you to keep this in mind. That's why I pulled it down. You need to understand this, that the requirements for elders are no different to the requirements for any Christian. Right? Elders are called to be role models of what all Christians should be like. So before you're an elder, you need to make sure you're already a role model Christian. So this list, these verses we're going to look at, are what all role model Christians, all good Christians, should be living like. So thanks, Dave. So what does a model Christian look like in regards to parenting? 1 Timothy 3. An elder must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. Obey him with proper respect. Next, Titus 1, an elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, a man whose children believe, and here's the important one, are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. So Christians are called to ensure their children are obedient and respectful as opposed to wild and disobedient. Now what does that mean? It means parents are to give their kids boundaries. Give your kids boundaries. In short, children are to be given boundaries for their behaviour. Wild and disobedient children are those with few boundaries. And those boundaries are not enforced. Obedient children know their boundaries. And they know what will happen if they cross them. Now, here's the thing that blows my mind about these two commands. Just blows my... I love this. Research shows that obedient children are actually happier and more well-adjusted children in general. Isn't that fantastic? Obedient children are happier children. So when God is saying, make sure your kids are obedient, he's saying, love your children. Love your children. Now I'm going to show you some research to show you what I mean. This is what I'm led to believe is the current benchmark in the psychology of parenting. This research was conducted all the way back in the 60s by a lady called, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, Diana Baumrind or Baumrind. I'm going to go with Baumrind. I'm sure I go with Baumrind. Baumrind. Let's go with that. But this research is still used today in parenting courses, which is where I was first exposed to it. Now, Diana Baumrind identified three different styles of parenting, which are authoritarian, permissive, and authoritative. Don't get those one and three confused. Authoritarian, permissive, and authoritative. Very quickly. Authoritarian parenting. Thanks, Dave. This sets very strict rules for their kids with no explanation. All right. If a kid says why, the parent will say, because I said so. That's why. Okay. And failure to adhere to those rules results in punishment. Authoritarian. You know, probably heard of those. Next, permissive. Permissive parents place very few demands on their children. Children are rarely disciplined, and the little discipline shown is usually quite inconsistent. These parents are more responsive and nurturing, you know, quick to jump in and talk to their kids and comfort their kids, but it's in an attempt to be more of a friend to their child than a parent. Number three is authoritative. Authoritative parenting still provides rules and guidelines, but the reasons for these boundaries are explained. The reason you can't ride on the road or play on the road is because you might get hit by a car. Okay? You explain these boundaries. children are disciplined when they do step out of line, but the punishment is explained in a way that shows that it's for the child's own good. I'm trying to teach you where your boundaries are. Now, the thing to realise with these three different parenting styles is they produce noticeably different children. Here are the results. Authoritarian parenting, obedience-driven parenting, produces children who rank lower in happiness, who have lower social competence and lower self-esteem. They are more obedient and proficient, all right? But that's because they tend to associate obedience and success with love. That's how their parents related to them. They are often more aggressive outside the home. I think you find that's where school bullies come from a household where authoritarian parenting is used. And because they're not encouraged to act independently, okay, you do what I say, they never learn how to set their own limits and personal standards. That's one end of the scale. Permissive parenting. Permissive parenting produces children who lack self-discipline, are very self-involved and demanding. The world revolves around me because my parents always jump to my attention. Now, they may have better interpersonal skills, that's one of the benefits, but they feel very insecure due to the lack of boundaries given them. They are three times more likely to engage in heavy drinking, are less academically motivated, and they lack the ability to share. But what's even worse, I think, is they grow up with a lack of respect for those in authority. They don't like being told what to do because their parents have never done it. And that's mostly the case with teachers. They lack respect of teachers and the police as examples. They're the two extremes. Now come to authoritative. It sounds bad, but this is where it's at. Authoritative parenting generally produces children who have a happy demeanor. They have good emotional control, good social skills, and are better at learning new skills. These kids learn that they can act independently and accomplish things on their own, and that leads to good self-esteem. So in short, authoritarian or permissive parenting produces kids with the most issues. I'll give you an example from the Bible to begin with. Kids need boundaries. This is Proverbs 29. Thanks, Dave. Well, we're talking about in the kids' spot. Straight out of the kids' spot. The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Children who lack boundaries, they lack security. You ever walked up along an edge of a cliff? You ever tried that? Without a guardrail or a handrail? You don't feel very secure, do you? Sort of inching up just to see how close you can get. If you walk up to a cliff with a guardrail there, bang, straight up to the edge, you know you're safe. You know where the boundary is. Very secure. I heard of a psychologist, or read of a study this week. A psychologist went into a local daycare. Kids are there every day in this daycare. What he did was he took down the chain link around the outside of the playground. Now, rather than enjoying their new freedom and running, you know, going wild, what ended up happening was these little kids huddled closer to the middle of the playground. They didn't want to go anywhere near the boundary. They felt insecure because of their lack of boundaries. Permissive parents are not imparting wisdom on their kids, like this passage says. Nor are they providing adequate security. That's one end of the scale. Let's look at the other end. Don't stifle your kids. Ephesians 6:4, our passage. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Now, the word exasperate there means to make angry or provoke. Threatening children over and over again. If you step out of line, you will be punished. That's provoking your kids. That's stifling your kids. We should be explaining where the line is rather than threatening if they cross over it. Authoritarian parenting stifles children. Friends, if we want happy, well-adjusted kids, this is what you need to do. If you're waiting for the application, these are the three things you write down. Thanks, Dave. You need to lay out appropriate boundaries for your children. You need to explain the reasons for those boundaries. And you need to discipline them when they breach those boundaries. Kids will not respect you if you put the boundary there and don't stick to it. They won't respect you. That's how we love our kids, point one. And if this is not your current style of parenting, then you're not loving your kids to your full potential. Point one. Let's go to point two. Thanks, Dad. I think they've written it down by now. Thanks. The second point is regards to seeing how Jesus dealt with children in Mark 10. Now, the passage begins with parents bringing their children to Jesus. Now, the disciples didn't like this, and they rebuked the parents. Now, it's not explicitly explained in the passage, but you can hear the disciples' response. You know, why are you wasting the teacher's important time with these insignificant little beings such as children? What we read in verse 14 is this. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, angry. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Jesus gladly gave of his precious time to children. Gladly. And the reason is, that's what children need. They need our time. Have you ever heard the saying, children spell love, T-I-M-E. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. One of the best bits of advice I was given as a parent was from a little video I stumbled across on the net. It was by Ray Galea. He's the guy that helps organise Wogs for Christ. And Ray Galea was talking about the best bit of advice he was ever given. And it was this. He said he was told to set aside 1 hour a week to have one-on-one time with each of his kids. Okay, so I don't know how many kids he's got, but that'd be 3 or 4 hours that he set aside, one-on-one with each of his kids. And what he said was that that time, so the kids could do whatever they wanted during that time with him. They could go shopping, they could play video games, whatever, so long as he got 20 minutes to talk with them, just to chat one-on-one. And what that meant was he built a relationship with his kids. And he said that relationship meant that they had a good relationship throughout the teenage years. And Ray said his 22-year-old son still looked forward to having that hour every week. Now, is that not the best investment of your time imaginable? To build a relationship with your kids. A relationship that will grow and you know, thrive even in the teenage years, the hardest. About 2 weeks after Logan started school, I picked him up on a Monday afternoon and I told him that from then on, we would spend 1 hour a week together every Monday afternoon. We were just walking home. This was day one of this thing I was starting. I kid you not, when I told him that, tears started to well up in his eyes and he stopped and he turned around and he gave me a massive hug. He was overjoyed because that little gesture showed him that I love him. That moment is staying with me forever. It's a wonderful moment. That's what kids want. Now, for Father's Day this year, Logan brought home a special Father's Day craft. Let me tell you, I have thrown out about 3 filing cabinets full of Logan's craft this year. School, Scripture, Ignite, Holiday Club. I kept this one. All right. He was asked to write down what is the thing he loves about his dad. This is what he wrote. I love my dad because he plays with me and he has the best ideas. I take it that's Lego, I don't know. That's what kids care about, spending time with them. Now, please don't think I'm just talking about quality time. Right? I hear some fathers say, look, I don't spend much time with my kids, but when I do, it's quality time. Friends, that is code for I don't spend much time with my kids. Not joking. That hour I spend with Logan, that is only part of the time I spend with our kids. I am there every evening, or almost every evening, for bath time and dinner time. That's not quality time, but it's time. We have about a half hour after dinner where we can play and whatnot before bedtime. I try and spend most of my day off on Friday with family, as well as a half day on Saturday and Sunday afternoons, family time. Now, that is not all quality time, let me tell you. So it's nap time. But it's time I'm not spending in my office. I've got to say, dads who get home from work every night after 7 p.m., just before the kids go to bed, that is a lot of time you're missing out on with your kids. If you want to really love your kids, you have to spend time with them. Have to spend time with them. Third and final point. This is from our Ephesians passage. I'm only going to read one verse. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, verse 4. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. How do you love your kids? You train them and instruct them in the Lord. The Bible does not give many details on how to raise your kids. This is one of them. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And the reason is simple. You need to understand this. You see, when you have a child, you have not just had a little mortal. You have just made a little immortal. Understand that? You and I are immortals. When we pass on from this life, we move into eternity, forever. Now the question parents need to ask themselves is, do we want our children to be eternal glories or eternal horrors? Research says that from the age of 0 to 7, so that's birth to about year 1 or year 2, that is when children have their values instilled in them. Do not wait for someone else to instill values in your kids. As an aside, and I'm stepping to the side when I say this, this is one of the reasons I have difficulty with parents who have their kids in childcare 5 days a week from an early age on. Now, there may be the odd occasion where it is financially necessary. You cannot put food on the table unless you send your kids out to daycare. But if you're doing it so you can afford your BMW, come on. Why would you voluntarily allow some stranger to be instilling values in your kids? From the word go, we need to make sure we are instilling the right values in our children, bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, how do we do this? It's exactly the same for adults. We read them the word of God. Read them the word of God. Make sure your kids have the Bible read to them or are reading the Bible themselves. Here's what we do in our family. Every night after dinner, before we leave the table, I read one chapter, or Deb reads one chapter from my NIV study Bible. Now, we've been doing this for a couple of years now, well before Logan understood the stories. And at the moment, our eldest, Logan, he's the only one that really listens. The other ones don't listen. But what are we doing? We are training our kids to know that that's what we do before we leave the table at night. So when they reach the ages of 8 or 10 or 12, they know. That's what the McLaughlin household does. We read a passage of the Bible together. Logan's already asking questions. We'll have discussions as the years go on. But we're training them now. After that, when they're going to bed, just as Denise said, we read to them a passage from one of their children's Bibles. We've got two or three of them. Okay, work our way through them. Read a passage. And then we pray about that passage. And then we do our general prayers every night. Every night, that's part of the routine. It is tiring, as Peter said when Denise mentioned it. It is tiring. But that's the time I'm willing to spend on my kids. Now, on top of Bible reading, what else do we do? We talk about Jesus. Very important to have Jesus conversations. We talk about how Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, to make sure we have forgiveness. We talk about how God loves the truth and hates lying. About how God loves sharing and hates greed. About how God loves kindness and hates meanness. And what these conversations do is it makes Jesus talk natural in our household. It's natural to talk about those kinds of things in our house. Final thing we do, I want to share with you each week, is that we make sure our kids are at church every week. Now, I get paid to be here every week, all right? But my wife and kids don't. They could be playing Sunday sport. They could be going to friends' parties that are always on Sundays. They could be on holidays. They could go away every 4 weeks. But we don't. There will never be Sunday sport in our household. If anyone invites us to a party on Sunday, we'll say, can't come until after. I'll get there after 1 o'clock. Even when we go away, we try hard, doesn't always work, but we try hard to find a church. Or if I'm on annual leave, Deb will often bring the kids along here. Because we want our kids to have the norm for them being at church every week. Are you teaching your kids that? Are you teaching your kids now that church is the norm? Or is there some excuse always that, not this week? Look, friends, there you have it. Loving your kids 101. It is not exhaustive, but it's where the Bible starts. Give your kids clear boundaries and enforce them. Spend time with them more than just a Sunday afternoon, and bring the Word of God to bear on their lives. Now, as most of our parents will know, raising kids is much more complicated than that. But these are the 3 points that they're the foundation that the Bible lays. And so that's an excellent foundation to start. Let's try and do it, eh?